You are listening to Studio 41.
Hello and welcome to Quiz Time India, India's first quiz trivia podcast. This is your host and quiz master Aditya Mattu. And to kick off the proceedings, some random medical trivia. So, did you know research using rabbits has led to 26 Nobel Prize for physiology and medicine? Talking about rabbits, did you know Bugs Bunny is not a rabbit but a hare? Going further, the man after whom Parkinson's disease is named was once arrested to assassinate George III with a poison dart. And also, did you know the man after whom Tourette's syndrome is named was once shot in the head by one of his patients? If such medically irrelevant but potentially dangerous trivia is your thing, then you have come to the right place, the right podcast, Quiz Time India. Let us get this episode underway. The first matter of attention is the audience question. And this was the audience question from the previous episode, which featured Shakti Shetty.
In India, in the 21st century, the first decade, which is 2000 to 2010, there was a clear rise in the suicide of farmers. So if you remember, there were lots and lots of worrying statistics back, like several, especially in the Vidarbha region in Maharashtra. And that was the case in the first decade. In the second decade, somehow farmers were displaced in the list of suicide. They were moved to second position. Who took the first position? And that is the question for today's session.
And the correct answer was housewives. Yes, indeed, housewives. And the correct answer was given by Pooja Vaman. Pooja, thank you so much for participating in the quiz. Thank you so much for sending in the answer. You are absolutely correct. A round of applause for Pooja. And now to this week's episode. This week on the show, we have Rajat Guru Raj. Rajat is a Bangalorean quizzer who has lived in 5 different cities in India, an avid reader, globetrotter, meditator, and someone who indulges in extreme adventure sport of visiting museums. He has been quizzing since his school days and once won a tiebreak question in a school quiz on the buzzer. The question was, what is the difference between an astronaut and a cosmonaut? And the correct answer, of course, is that there is no difference. So, let's welcome Rajat Guru Raj onto Quiz Time India. Rajat, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Aditya.
Rajat, I'm quite excited for this session. It is so good to have you. I've heard good things about you. I've heard you are an excellent quizzer. So we'll put that to test. And how we do it is pretty simple. I have a bunch of questions ready with me. And so do you. And we will take turns asking each other these questions. And from those questions, conversations will emerge and new TILs will emerge. And that is exactly the point of this podcast. So, are you ready?
Sure, let's go.
All right. So, quickly for the audience, we will take turns asking each other questions. Hints are allowed, clues are allowed. It's not competitive. There are no points. Just sit back, relax, enjoy the stories, enjoy the trivia, and let's begin. Since you are the guest, I will make you comfortable by asking you the first question of today.
Sure.
And it is a sort of a simple question, to be honest, right?
Okay.
The question begins about the Han Dynasty in China.
Okay.
So the Han Dynasty was said to have used an imaginative way to fund the building of the Great Wall of China. So we all know the Great Wall of China and how magnificent it is and how apparently it can be seen from space and whatnot.
Right.
So, when the Han Dynasty was building it, they used an imaginative way to fund the building.
Okay.
While the origins of it are shaky at best, this method of funding is still used till this day to fund public projects. Most famously, it is used to fund public education in New York City, or for that matter, to fund films in the UK.
Yeah.
On the flip side, this thing has caused addiction among many people. What are we talking about? Han Dynasty used an interesting way to raise money for building the Great Wall of China. We don't know where the origin of it was, this entire thing, but we know that Han Dynasty used it, and even till this date, it is being used to fund public projects. Most importantly, most famously rather, it is used to fund public education in New York City or New York State, I'm not sure on that, and films in the UK. And on the flip side, this thing has said to have caused addiction among many people. What are we talking about?
So what I can think of is, just from a sort of a taxation perspective, I'm thinking if it's got addiction and if it is China, the mind automatically goes to opium. So this is the opium trade. Mm. Is this the opium
that
trade?
That is a good guess. That is a good guess. And that's a logical guess. Because as you said, China, you possibly think of the opium trade, the British, but no. It is not opium that we are talking about. We're talking about something else. Something much more common than opium, if I can put it that way.
Okay. So probably a sort of trade of some sort of a food delicacy or some sort of... I'm just thinking of what are the things that one can get addicted to. And I'm thinking food.
That is a good line of thinking.
And food is one of the sort of the top things there. I don't know. Is this...
So you won't get addicted to food, right? I mean, you might love a kind of food, but you won't get addicted to it. Also, as I said, it is still being used to fund public projects. So what can be addictive but yet legal that it is being allowed, as I said, fund education in...
This is tobacco sales from smoking and tobacco. The sale of... it's basically excise tax, right? I mean, maybe I can say alcohol. Is this alcohol taxation?
All your guesses have been the logical guesses. Right, because that is what exactly, something which could be taxed, something which is addictive, but this is something else. Okay, let me just say, we're not talking about any substance here. There's no substance involved in this. In fact, what we're talking about is a scheme of sorts. If that makes sense. It's a scheme, it's an idea which is being used for a long time.
This is gambling. Taxation on gambling.
Close. If you could modify your answer a little bit, you might get the answer. You're there in the ballpark.
The sort of betting on things, or
you are getting much, much closer.
Okay. Something which is addictive. It's card games. So sale of cards, sale of a pack of cards or something like that.
No. See, it's being used to fund public education. Okay, this will be the last hint I'll give. It is done on a large scale. It is legal, but yet can be addictive of sorts. One last crack. It's a very innocent answer or a very simple answer at the end of it, which you'll be like, "Arey, ha, that does make sense." Yes. But it's just one of those, to be frank, there are not many clues here. But the fact that this happens is really interesting. So I thought, you know what? Let's just get it out of the way. So yeah, take one more shot. You are close. You're really close. You're just like one word away from the answer of sorts.
So toys for kids or something like that. Sale of toys or...
No. No. So what these people did...
Yes.
The idea was to fund public projects, right?
Right.
So how do you raise money for that? For funding public projects, which are like huge projects. As I said, Great Wall of China was going to be funded by it. And public education is funded by it. So it's obviously raising a whole lot of money. And right. What these people did was they started a lottery.
Oh.
A lottery system where people were pitching in tiny amounts of money, from which one winner or maybe a few winners will get a big jackpot. But most of it would go on to fund public projects. Great Wall of China, public education. In the UK, there's a national lottery which even funds films, which no one else would pay for. But that is what exactly it was. It was lottery.
Oh, damn. But good question. Great funder.
Yeah. So now it's your turn to ask me the question and I will try my best to give an answer.
Sure. So I will ask a question from literature, but it is not something which you need to have read the book or things like that for you to answer this question. So there are a couple of parts in here. So first is that you have to identify the writer I'm speaking about. And the second is that it's something related to that writer's books. So this writer is known for taking the literary style of magical realism from its foremost proponent, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, and giving it a new life in his novels. So in the 1980s, while this writer was living in London, he received a message from a head of a country, which resulted in drastic and frustrating changes in his life. And in a later book describing this event, he calls the message that he got as his unfunny Valentine because it was received on the 14th of February. So basically, he had some life experiences. To put it in mildly, in the 1980s and start of the 1990s. In another one of his latest book, he describes this event as his unfunny Valentine. So first, identify this writer. And then the second part of the question is, in 2015, he wrote another book, a novel, which was titled 2 Years, 8 Months, and 28 Nights. 2 Years, 8 Months, and 28 Nights. So what is this title a reference to? So, identify the writer and what is this novel 2 years, 8 months and 28 nights about?
So, I think I know the answer to this one because I know only two writers who deal with magic realism.
Right.
One is, as you said, Gabriel Garcia Marquez and his famous book 100 Years of Solitude, if I'm not mistaken.
100 Years of Earth. Yes, indeed.
Right. That is supposed to be the most famous and the most widely known book which employs magic realism. And the other one was a book written about India by Salman Rushdie.
Right.
And that was Midnight Children, in which the children have superpowers of sorts. And then there is this Salim Sinai who is India, and India is Salim Sinai of sorts.
Yes.
And then it all comes down at the end with Indira Gandhi's and whatnot. Yes. Everything, a lot happens in that book. So please do read that book.
I'm a big fan of Salman Rushdie. So, and I was recently reading a book of his collection of essays, which has recently been released. I always think that Rushdie is not for everyone. But if you like it, there is nothing like reading his book. It's like a wormhole that you go into and just the time disappears when you're reading his book. And at least for me, it is like that. But I understand a lot of people don't really sort of relish his sort of flowery style, right? A little over the top sometimes.
I remember it took me almost 6 months or maybe close to a year to finish Midnight Children. Because not because it wasn't interesting, but because there was so much happening in like 2-3 pages that it took me time to process all of that.
Yes.
So I'm assuming the love letter must have been... Okay, the love letter bit is slightly curious.
Yes.
Which head of state would have written to him? I'm assuming... I mean, logic says it must be Ayatollah Khomeini who wrote...
Absolutely.
Who issued the fatwa against him.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's correct. Yeah. So it was a message which resulted in drastic changes in his life. And it was on the 14th of February.
Yeah, because of satanic verses, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned another book, right? The 2 years and something.
So what is the title a reference to? So that's the second part of the question, which I'm still waiting for your answer. So 2 years, 8 months and 28 nights.
Yeah. I'm a bit confused here.
Right.
Because once that fatwa thing happened, he was put into house arrest. I think he was in UK only. And he was put into house arrest where he was being watched by, I don't know, some UK cops or police or Secret Service all
Secret
the time.
Service.
And
he, yeah.
I'm assuming that time that you mentioned, the title of the book is his time which he's, you know, spent in captivity, or not captivity, but house arrest.
Yeah.
But I remember reading somewhere that...
So there is a separate book, you know, for that experience of his life, which is
Joseph Anton,
correct. So,
yeah, because that was the pseudonym that they gave him. They didn't mention we are with Salman Rushdie. They just said we're going to meet anyone in that mission would
right.
just say it's Joseph Anton. No one would utter the name Salman Rushdie, right?
Absolutely correct. And it is the portmanteau name of his two favorite writers, which was Joseph Conrad, who wrote The Heart of Darkness.
Anton Chekhov.
And Anton Chekhov, the short story master from the Russian literature of the 19th century. Yeah. But what is this book? 2 years, 8 months and 28 nights. Just think about it a little bit. The answer is right in front of you.
2 years and...
2 years, 8 months and
how
28
many,
nights.
Is it... Okay, does it come up to... Okay, this is going to be a guess.
Right.
It's going to be a random guess. I'm just trying to add up the number of days. Does it come up to like 1001 Arabian Nights? Is it some...
Brilliant answer. Brilliant answer. Absolutely
wow.
right. Absolutely right. So it is indeed the 1001 Nights recited by the character Sherzade in the book.
Mm.
And this was the play on that. And the... Basically, it was there are some in this book. It's a magical realist book. So you have jinns flying in New York City, kind of a setup. But yeah, it's a clear reference to 1001 Nights.
That is a great question. That is a great question. So on that note, we'll move to the next question, which is
sure.
rather much more simpler. This one, right?
Right.
So we are talking about the year is 1938.
Okay.
So the World War II is about to come up. And we are talking about two young men, Fred Morrison and his friend slash business partner, Franz Cioni, FranzCioni. I'm not sure if that is the correct pronunciation, but
Franz
Cioni. Fred Morrison and Franz Cioni. So these two guys, they used to play on the beach. They used to live near the beach at New Haven in America. And they just created a game among themselves, the two of them. And this was 1938. A few years later, Fred got into the Air Force as the World War began. And there he learned a lot of something. You know, in Air Force, they had they taught the people who were going to fight and who were going to fly planes. And there, while learning, he realized that he could make the game that he used to play back home with his friend, he could improve that game because of all the learning that he had got. So when the war got over, he came back and he started to apply his training in the Air Force on this game that they were playing as with his friend. And he came up with the product, the game that we know today. He came up with it and then he tried to, you know, make a company around it. And his first breakthrough came in 1957 as he sold the rights of this product to a company called VAMO. Now, VAMO as a company, VAM as in WHAM, VAM dash O. VAMO as a company has a totally different history. They used to make a lot of toys and stuff like that, and they had a slingshot. So, Fred Morrison, after he improved his product, sold it to a company called VAMO. And VAMO, as soon as they got the rights, they changed the product's name to that of a pie-selling company which sold or supplied pies to Yale University. So, VAMO got the product and they changed the name of the product to that of a pie company, a pie selling company, a company which used to sell or supply pies to the Yale University. And now, of course, this game, this product, this whatever you want to call it is extremely famous. It is pretty much known all over the world, and it is said almost maybe not a billion of these, but maybe many hundreds of millions of these have been sold all over the world.
Okay.
So what game am I talking about? What is it that am I speaking about?
So I have a guess. So I'm thinking two guys on a beach, they have to play a game. Then Fred goes to the Air Force. So he learns probably principles of aerodynamics. Does aerodynamics works. It eventually became famous in a Yale University. So are we talking about frisbees?
Brilliant answer. Absolutely correct. Frisbees is what I was looking for. So Fred Morrison and his friend Francione, they used to play with a cake pan. They used to throw it on the beach.
Right.
Fred went to war there while in Air Force. He learned aerodynamics, so he improved on the design and got the design which we know as of today. And then it was sold to this company, VAMO. Now, why VAMO gave it the name was because the students at Yale, they used to eat the pies, and then they used to throw the tins from their windows, like how we do it with a frisbee. So people had seen them do it with that pie tins, and they said, you know what, let's just name it after the pie making company whose name was Frisbee. And correct answer. Brilliant answer. Yeah, brilliant.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I knew this the second half of the thing, that it came from Yale University where they flattened the tins and sort of they were playing with it, but I never knew the first part of the story, which is of these two brothers playing, etc. And it's an interesting way of how they've taken the name from the pie company.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a pie company called Frisbees. So yeah, that was your second question.
Great.
Now it's your turn. Now, I know you are enjoying the episode. Well, hopefully you are. So let me quickly mention that this podcast is entirely listener funded. So if you're enjoying the show, do donate at instamojo.com/@studio41 or paypal.me/studio41pod. And remember, apart from these podcasts, we also have two free newsletters, Cricket Quota, for all the cricket nerds out there, for all the cricket fans out there. This is something that you want. And the other newsletter is this content, which is weekly music, podcast, movie and reading recommendations direct to your inbox for free. And now on to your episode.
So I have a food question. During these times of COVID, I think all of us are craving going out and eating our favorite foods. So it basically starts with a legend. So legend goes that when the capital of the Mughal Empire was shifted from Agra to the new city in Delhi, which was Shah Jahanabad, this was in 1658, the royal doctor of Shah Jahan was very displeased. So his reason was that because Yamuna water was distinctly more alkaline at Delhi than at Agra or Fatehpur Sikri, and it would result in health problems for the general populace. So what the royal doctor recommended was that the people of Shah Jahanabad eat food which incorporates a lot of spices to counter the effects of the alkaline water. So this resulted in the creation of two dishes, one vegetarian and one non-vegetarian. So which are these two dishes? So fairly straightforward. It basically helps counter the alkaline effect of the water at Yamuna water at Delhi with food which has a lot of spices, etc. So what did this result in the creation of, or what dishes are we talking about? One vegetarian and one non-vegetarian.
When I started hearing, I thought this might be the story of Shikanji, but I don't think that is the answer.
No. It's food, not a drink.
Yeah. So a dish which originated in Shah Jahanabad Delhi, so I'm assuming we still get it in and around Delhi.
Yes, old Delhi.
If not the rest of the, yeah.
No, so these are very popular dishes. So it's not, unknown or it's not very specific.
Yeah, it must have traveled like a butter chicken. It must have traveled to different places kind of a
absolutely,
thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm just thinking what dish is...
So think of a ubiquitous food found everywhere in India. And it is not just to counter the alkaline effect of water, but it is really popular. Think of something very...
Are we talking something like some variation of a dal? Like a khichdi? But khichdi would have been much, much older. I don't think a khichdi or a some item like that would have been made just...
Not khichdi.
Some 300-400 years ago.
Not khichdi. So the main ingredients...
Kaliya.
So the main ingredients is the lot of spices, but the food itself is nothing very uncommon or rare. These were everyday foods which they just sort of started preparing with a lot of spices, and then it resulted in the creation of these two dishes, one vegetarian, one for the vegetarian folk, and one for the non-vegetarian meat eating folks.
I thought maybe something like a chaat or all, but it can't be a non-vegetarian
chaat. Is the right answer. Chaat is the right answer.
What?
So one so indeed so it is the chaat for the vegetarian dish. So this is the invention of chaat. It was invented in, like a lot of things actually, it was invented in the Chandni Chowk Shahjahanabad area of Delhi, and it was basically to make the water palatable. So it is indeed brilliant answer. Chaat. So what is the non-vegetarian dish? This might be a little more. I mean, it's not like a butter chicken, but it is still quite well known dish.
Oh, I thought the veg and the non-veg dish are basically the same dish. It's just that in the non-vegetarian dish they throw some meat items.
No. These are two separate. Okay. These are two separate dishes.
Okay.
So one was created for the people who don't eat meat, and one was created for people who do eat meat.
Okay. So chaat is. I'm quite thankful that you asked this question, because it has happened on the podcast before. There was a food question, and I think that time I asked out loud, I wonder where did chaat come from? And today I'm really glad you asked me this question, that I finally know where chaat came from. Now up to the non-vegetarian version, or non-vegetarian dish rather.
Right.
Is there any hint? Okay.
So it is more of, it is not an equivalent of chaat. Okay. So it's a separate dish on its own. Mm. It's more like a meat broth. It's more like a meat broth. So you have pieces of lamb or chicken or beef in the dish itself.
Yeah.
Along with the broth, and adding sort of marrow also to it, which really sort of enhances the taste. Exactly. Correct. Brilliant.
Wow.
Nihari is the answer. So this was the meat solution for this problem. And so nihari is typically cooked overnight with a lot of spices and on a slow boil along with all these meats, and this is basically had in at breakfast time after the first namaz is led. So indeed, that's the correct answer. So you arrived at it. Very good job.
Mere muh mein pani aa gaya yaar. I don't know how to do a quiz now.
Sorry.
I would have never guessed that was the origin of two dishes which first of all are totally diverse in their right, and yet there was the common reason that they were afraid of how the water in
so I saw this on there's this show. It was earlier on Netflix, now it's not there, it's somewhere I'm not able to find it. It's called Raja Rasoi or Anya Kahaniya. So it basically goes
it's on Epic channel, I think, right?
Yes. So it was there on Netflix last year. So I saw a bunch of episodes. trivia also. So the thing with Nihari is that they have this concept of what is known as Tar. So basically Tar mm-hmm. is so once you make Nihari, and if there is some leftover, mm-hmm. you add it to the next day's pot. And okay. so on. So apparently there are places in Old Delhi which has the tar from Shah Jahan's time. So the tar has been carrying over for the last 400 years.
Marvelous. So every yes. time they take a bit yes. out and you put it in the next spot, and they keep putting it in the next spot.
Right.
And it is continuing.
Yes.
I would like to taste that. I don't know which place it is, but hopefully in a post-COVID world, I would definitely like to taste that. I think I'll put that in the top of my bucket list.
Sure.
In a post-COVID world. That's a brilliant question. I'm so glad that you asked this. I truly had no idea about both of them. Chaat was a total tukka.
Sometimes the answer which you reject as ridiculous in your mind is the right answer. So it's happened so many times to me in quizzes that these kind of things happen.
That's a first class question. All right. So with that, I'll move to the next question that I have for you. And this one is also quite interesting, to be honest. Again, something that I learned this week. And why I love it more is because of a particular fact that I'll tell you once you have cracked the question.
Okay.
So this question begins with the Seine River, S-E-I-N-E. It flows in France.
Paris.
Through Paris, right?
Yes.
And this happened, I think, in late 1800s or maybe early 1900s. So what happened actually was, one day, people on the banks of the river found a body of a teenage girl who had drowned.
Okay.
So it was an unfortunate incident, and they took out the body, and they couldn't recognize who she was. So what they did was, the entire town, wherever they found her, they put her on display in the mortuary. And okay. they asked people, they put out a message saying, we have found a body of a young girl, a teenage girl. If anyone can identify her, please go to the mortuary and, please identify yes. the girl. But with time, no one was able to identify this girl. And okay. hence, she came to be known as the unknown woman of CN.
Okay.
Now, the doctor who conducted her autopsy was struck by the look on the girl's face. He thought that the girl's face was really serene, a really calm face. It is very unnatural for a dead body, especially who's been found in a river, and then you see that body and it's a very calm face. And person who was the doctor who was doing the autopsy, he couldn't get it out of his head, and hence he created something. He created something which is used all over the world based on this girl, based on the look on this girl's face. And what he created is known with the name Resushi Ann. I'll spell it out.
Yeah.
R-E-S-U-S-C-I space Ann. So they gave this girl a name eventually. They called her Ann, A-N-N-E. And what this doctor created was called Resushi Ann. Or Rescue Anne. That okay. is all I'll tell you. What I want you to tell me is, why is this girl important in the history of science? Or basically, what did the doctor do with her?
Okay, so
so girl is found in river. No one can identify her. They call her the unknown woman of CN. And later, the doctor who's doing the autopsy is looks at her face, her calm face, her serene face, and can't get it out of his head. And he creates something. What he creates is known as Resushi Ann. In fact, they gave the girl the name Ann much later. And basically, what is this girl's contribution to the history of science?
So whatever he created, was it a sort of a object or a device used in science, or was it something else?
You can say it was used in science. Yes, okay. You can say that.
So was she the person from which they sort of extracted the human gene or learned about the human genome? I'm just taking guesses.
No, but you are on the right track. That's not the answer, but in general, yeah, they use her for something. What is it that you have to tell me?
Resuchi Ann? Does the fact that she has a serene face, is that part of the... Is that a clue? Or
yep.
Okay.
Yep, yeah.
Okay, so... So this was created to sort of make the sort of a model for a female model, mm-hmm. which is used in medical sort of hospitals or medical colleges as the...
You are getting...
As the sort of example of a typical female anatomy, something like that. Like
good guess, but... there's a specific detail I want in here. It's a good guess. You are in the area, but there's something specific that I want.
So the...
I actually didn't know this thing existed until I read this question and I Googled the thing. But it's quite interesting that it is.
So mm-hmm. is this the typical woman's facial parameters? There is a standard probably... Which is used to compare all facial sort of measurements.
No. Okay, let me give you a tiny hint.
Right.
Think about what had happened to Anne or the unknown woman of Cien. There's a connect there. What happened to her?
So she was drowned.
Exactly.
So death by drowning. Okay, so I have an answer. So I'm thinking this is the sort of the model used for resuscitating people who go under, basically mouth to mouth, and that those maneuvers that you do where you press on the chest and try to wake up the person who has drunk a lot of water and sort of gone underwater. Something like this.
Brilliant. Correct answer.
Great.
She is the CPR doll. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Right.
So what you do is you beat the chest and you try to push some oxygen into the body if someone has drowned.
Right.
So they wanted to make a model so that if someone could find... someone who was drowned to revive them. And since this doctor found that her face was very calm, very serene, so what he did, he made a plaster cast of her face. This plaster cast is also called as the death mask. And what they did was he went to a toy maker called Asmund Laidral.
Right.
And he asked him to create a mannequin on which they could practice, and the face used for the mannequin was of that girl.
Oh, wow.
About 300 million people have been trained using Resuchi Ann, and there's a joke also, she's the most kissed girl in the world. but
fascinating.
Tell me, are you a fan of Michael Jackson?
Yeah, I am.
Have you heard Smooth Criminal?
Yes.
Do you know how the chorus goes?
I can hum the tune, but I don't...
Okay, let me tell you. Apparently, when they're teaching you CPR,
yeah.
So you're doing the procedure and you have to check, right, if the
right.
person is revived or not.
Right.
So this girl's name is Anne, right?
Right.
And another way of saying Anne would be Annie. So you would say, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie?
Oh, wow.
And you'll keep repeating saying, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? And then Michael Jackson took that. And after that, he put, you've been hit by, you've been struck by a smooth criminal.
Wow. Amazing funda.
Yeah.
Mind is blown.
It was the Michael Jackson bit that blew my mind.
Same for me. Amazing.
That's why I said this question is okay. It's a great idea that such a thing exists for the last 100 years. 300 million people have trained on this, but then I'm like, oh, Michael Jackson used this in a song, and that's where it came.
Amazing.
So well done, yeah, you cracked it.
But great funda.
Your next question now.
Yes. So this unofficial holiday in China celebrates bachelorhood and derives its name from the fact that the date, when written down, looks like a bunch of sticks. So which date and what is the name of this holiday, which has become the largest retail and online shopping day in the world, overshadowing even holidays like Black Friday or Cyber Monday in the US? So essentially it's a unofficial holiday. So a little bit more, some of the facts about this is that it was started by four men in Nanjing University. When you write down the date, it looks like a bunch of sticks. They thought that they should celebrate this. And hence this day became spread through the universities in China, and it became very popular at the campus level. Then it spread to the rest of the country. And then it's basically the day when Alibaba and other e-commerce sites in China make the most money, because it's like Diwali here, or it's like four or five times bigger than Black Friday, Cyber Monday, those kind of things. So what is this date, first of all, and what is the name of this day? It's not official. It's not approved by the Communist Party of China, but it celebrates bachelorhood, and looks a certain way, and because of that, it is celebrated on that particular day.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
So the date is written in our Arabic numerals, or is it some other way of writing? Is it
no? So the in China have they use writing. The China they use the Roman numerals. It's the
what?
Yeah,
I actually have no idea about this, but it's an unofficial thing. Has it traveled outside of China? As in, do other places have this?
Wherever
tradition?
You have a Chinese presence. It has traveled to some places in Southeast Asia where you have a significant Chinese population. But it is the biggest e-commerce day in the world, that particular date.
Wow. Can't think of anything. First of all, there are two parts of it. What day is it called? What date is it?
Yes. So what date is it? And so the what date is... a little bit more simpler. Just go for the most simplest answer think about it. And this basically started by three
Is it 11-11?
Exactly. You are right. Bang on. It is 11th of November. It is basically, it looks like a bunch of sticks, right? Just four sticks.
Yeah.
And another reason why there is another story why it became popular is because single branches they remain single on a tree, so that means that they cannot add branches to their family. So it's basically that. So the name of the day, I think I've already revealed it. It's called Singles Day, Aditya. So it's
and
Singles
that's the
Day.
Biggest. Yes. A shopping day or a holiday in the world.
In
Singles
the world.
Day.
Yeah. And it sees four times more volume than Black Friday, which is just before the Thanksgiving. So it's not just singlehood, but it's basically become a date where you try to get rid of your... It's like Valentine's Day in China. Though Valentine's Day is also celebrated, but this is like own Chinese version where... people go on mass blind dates so people try to get together and stuff like that. So
Singles Day in China.
Yes.
Interesting. Singles Day in China on 11th of November.
Yes.
Bucket list. Another item. Nihari Dilli mein.
Yes.
And 11-11 China.
Your bucket list is growing.
Yes, absolutely. Abhi kar bhi kya sakte hai? Vaccine to mil nahi raha. So, yehi kar lete hai.
Yehi kar lete hai.
There is a quote na Ghalib ka. Ghalib something something ko ye khayal achcha hai. All right, that is another TIL, something that I learned today and I didn't know. And on that note, what we'll be doing, Rajat, now is we will be going towards the last segment of today's show, which is the audience question. Now, how we do it usually is you have one question with you, which you asked our audience, and our audience members, if they know the answer or if they have an educated guess or if they just have a random guess, all they have to do is get in touch with us over social media. So they can send us a message at @QuizTimeIndia on Facebook and Instagram, or @PodcastStudio41 on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook. And then they can let us know what their answer is. So it's over to you. Please ask us the audience question.
Okay, so I think for lovers of painting, this should be a fairly straightforward question, but here goes. So this French painter was passing through a French village, Giverny, on a train, and he was very taken by the beauty of that place, and it inspired him so much that in 1883 he moved there permanently and imported some plants for his garden there from Egypt and South America. So when he imported them, it drew the ire of local authorities, and the city council of Giverny, or the village council of Giverny, demanded he uproot the plants before they poisoned the area's water. But thankfully, this painter did not agree with them and ignored them. So eventually, these plants feature prominently in this famous series of about 250 landscape paintings. And so what I want to know is, which is this painter, which is this French painter, and what is the name of these series of paintings? So which painter and which series of paintings?
All right, so that is the question that Rajat asked. You have to tell us the name of the painter, and you have to tell us the series of paintings that this painter wrote, or rather created. And as I said, you can send in the answers @QuizTimeIndia on Facebook and Instagram, and @PodcastStudio41 on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And on that note, we come to the end of today's episode. Rajat, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for taking out the time from your busy schedule for this session. I thoroughly enjoyed having you on the podcast.
It was a great pleasure on my side as well, Aditya. Thank you so much.
And as we bring this episode to an end, here's an important announcement from a friend of the podcast, Kunal Mandal from GyanSpace. This is the end of the road for me. Remember to donate to the podcast, subscribe to the newsletters. See you guys
next
week. Hey,
QuizTime India fans, I hope all of you are well and safe. This is Kunal here from GyanSpace, and I have a quick announcement for all of you. We have been conducting a weekly series of quizzes that happens on every weekend, on Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m. for the last 1 year. And it's been a fantastic journey for us at GyanSpace, and we decided to celebrate that 1 year with a fantastic series of 4 quizzes this month, with a total prize money, cash prize money, of 32,000 rupees to be won in 4 quizzes. Let me tell you what are the 4 quizzes. We have on June 19th, Saturday at 5 p.m. the Harry Potter quiz. Then we have on June 20th, 10 p.m. the business quiz. And June 26th at 5 p.m. we have the Indian mythology quiz. And post which, on June 27th, which is a Sunday, we have a cricket quiz at 10 p.m. Don't forget to check out our page on Instagram. The handle is @GyanSpace, GYAANSPACE. The link to register for the quizzes is available on our bio in Instagram. Look forward to seeing you in our quizzes. And till then, stay safe and stay curious.